Would you please join me in singing the hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Thank you. Good morning. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." It's always good to be here. I want to say welcome to everyone, regulars, visitors, and especially, of course, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And I mean mothers of all kinds, the biological mothers, but adopted, aspiring mothers, the grandmothers, aunts, mentors, all who are mothers, you know, play a mothering role in all of our lives. We thank you and we praise God. We thank God for you. Take a quick look at the announcements. If anyone has one, feel free to come on up and make that now. Otherwise, I'll just highlight a few of them from your bulletin. First, congratulations to John and Melissa Weeb on the birth of their daughter, Michaela Fern, born last Sunday. Are you here? No. But praise God for the gift of new life. We'll keep on praying for them, as I'm sure they're going to be very busy for a while. Also want to look at the church calendar, especially next Sunday. There's the service of baptism and communion, so keep the candidates in your prayers. Also, there's an announcement for Austin Penner leaving the Agassiz Youth Center at the end of June, so let's all keep him in our prayers. That's going to be a big change. I think I'll leave the rest of the announcements there. You know, they're all in the bulletin. You can look at them on your own. As I'm sure you've seen, our theme this morning is trusting God. And this is not unrelated to Mother's Day. After all, who do we trust more than mothers? Besides, God describes himself and his relationship to us in maternal imagery in the Bible. God is, I did a really quick look, and God is variously compared, often by himself, to a human mother, a mother hen, even a mother bear. So there's a whole spectrum there. But it makes sense. God is love, and every good and perfect gift comes from him. So all our loves and all our mothers are reflections of the love God has for us. And since he loves us so much, we know that we can trust God. So as we listen to the service, as we sing, and as we worship, let us recall all those times that we have trusted God and how we are trusting him now, or even simply how let us desire to trust him more. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your trustworthiness and your love for us. Thank you for bringing about another new day. Thank you for another spring, the season of new life. Thank you for the life of your church, which is ever growing across the world. Thank you for new life within the church. We thank you for John and Melissa and their new child. We pray that you would bless John and Melissa and Winter as they care for little Michaela. Enable them to bring her up in the way she should go and be near to that family. We continue to pray for Tenley Falk, Nettie Ginter, Tim Weeb, and their families. We ask for healing, comfort, peace, and trust for all of them. We also pray for all those others who are sick, unwell, that your healing hand would be heavy on them. We thank you also for those young people who have decided to become baptized next Sunday. We thank you for the gift of baptism. We pray that you would prepare both them and us. May they know your joy in their preparations and your guidance. May we receive them with the same joy. We pray for the rest of the service this morning. May we be edified and formed and encouraged in your way today. And may you be glorified. Amen. We're going to have the offertory right away, and I believe this is a special Mother's Day surprise. Zoe, come on up. I think the rest of the service will go mostly unannounced. Thank you.
Louisa Stead and her husband were relaxing with their 4-year-old daughter on a sunny Long Island beach when they heard the desperate cry of a child. A boy was drowning, and Louisa's husband ran out into the water to rescue him. In the process, however, the boy pulled Mr. Stead under the water, and both drowned as Louisa and her daughter watched. Louisa Stead was left with no means of support. It was 1882. She and her daughter experienced dire poverty. One morning, when she had neither funds nor food for the day, she opened the front door and found that someone had left food and money on her doorstep. That day, she wrote this hymn. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and wilt be with me to the end." Written by Louisa Stead.
Let's sing that first verse again. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." Please stand as we continue to sing songs that express our trust in him. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. It's a Steve Bell song, "On the Wings of an Eagle," as we trust in Jesus. He strengthens our spirits. As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run 4 miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run 4 miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. The Lord, who is God, calls his people home, not to be afraid as we journey the road. Hand in hand, we'll be walking with the Lord our God. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. For our hope is found on the power of God. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run 4 miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. For the Lord, who is God, calls his people home, not to be afraid as we journey the road. Hand in hand, we'll be walking with the Lord our God. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. You may sit.
Good morning. I was asked to share in a way that I've had to trust in Jesus in my life. And these last 5 or 6 months have been like one of the greatest challenges for me in learning how to do that. Before Christmas time, I had some friends and they were praying for me and they were listening to God. And one of them told me that she felt like God was going to expand my capacity for uncertainty in this next year. And I didn't think anything of it. Until this January, when I tried to cross the border to go back into America, and I was not allowed to. And all of a sudden, my entire year had been planned out, and it was taken away from me in one moment, and I was completely undone, and at a loss as to what was going on and what was going to happen. So, of course, you ask yourself the question, why? But, like, everything that had been certain in my life was shaken up. So through that, I knew that God was good, that his ways are above mine and they're better than mine, and that he loves me. So it should be easy to trust in a God when he's like that, right? Well, it's definitely easier said than done, because the reality is that I had to let go of things I loved dearly and clung to, people that I love in Kona, the ministry I was a part of that I enjoyed more than anything else I've ever been able to do. And I had to leave the place that had become home for me. Surrendering and trusting God through that is hard because we like to be comfortable and certain. And anxiety can become a close companion when there's a lot of uncertainty in our lives. But trusting God is a choice, and I'm learning how to do that. I'm learning to trust him with my heart, with my dreams, and with my future. And these are a few things that I've learned in the last 5 months. is that God is more about our journey than the destination. He's more concerned about our character than what we do. He has the perfect way to get us where he wants us to be, which is often different than what we would choose. He hasn't forgotten the desires of our heart, and he's faithful to them as we seek him first. Above all else, he wants an intimate relationship with us, and I want this to be my greatest desire as well. He's 100% committed to us, and our future is filled with hope. God is faithful to complete what he has begun in us.
When Carolyn was first given this opportunity for us to share something about this, the decision was made that I would be doing the talking here and we'd be doing the sharing between the two of us. Anyway, when we started talking about these things that had happened, I said, I have a problem right from the start. I have this problem that, and I know on a subconscious level, I do trust in Jesus. But when the challenges and the crisis come, it's a little different story then. And that's part of, well, the assignment was read like this. I'm going to read this. Please share ways you are choosing to trust in Jesus for something specifically, or ways you've had to choose to trust him in the past. And that's where I came up with. I mean, like I say, on a subconscious level, I know I've always trusted him. But back in the early 70s, I had this 3020 John Deere that flipped over me. And I was lying underneath there, and my first thoughts were not really to trust in Jesus. My first thoughts were, where is this loader coming that's going to lift that tractor off so I can lie a little more comfortably? At any rate, it also didn't occur to me, even after I was in the hospital and they'd made the x-rays and initial assessment, that, so what was the big deal? And when the doctor came in and said, you're lucky, I didn't feel lucky. I had a fractured pelvis. I had a deep indentation in my left thigh, which is still there. That fits into the cowl of a 3020. And I had a couple of four broken ribs, or fractured ribs, cracked ribs. And I still wasn't quite sure that this was so lucky till he said the next statement. He said, 85 to 90% of the time, when I meet up with these accidents, I don't get to talk to the people. He said, I get to sign their death certificate. So, yeah. But then when we talked further about it, Carolyn says she had to trust Jesus most of the times when, and once a year it always happened, at least you could go for 24, maybe even 36 and 48 hours combining. And for her to stay home and wait, and it doesn't matter how much Coke you drink or how many sunflower seeds you eat, you're not alert. And there's always a danger that there's going to be something going on, and if she started out with the what-if scenario, it just spiraled downward and wasn't really of any benefit. I think those farmers' wives who can drive a combine feel much more at ease driving a combine than those people, those farmers' wives that have to stay home, and I'm sorry if this sounds politically incorrect or sexist, but that's the way it was in our family. There was also this other thing, and this comes to the part of learning to trust or choosing to trust in Jesus, and that's one thing very specifically. I'm learning to trust in Jesus. I'm saying this because next month I have a pacemaker appointment, the second one this year, and they told me that they would probably schedule a day when they would replace it. And I've got no problem with that. The first time it worked out perfectly, and I was told that it would last from 7 to 10 years, and it's now 9 years and almost 9.5 years, so I would rather have to replace it sooner than later to be ahead of the timeline rather than behind it, because according to my tracking device, the pacemaker has been working 98% of the time, so it's really not something you want to be without. But there were other discussions we had too. We talked about the barn fire, about some personal decisions that we had to make when 20 years ago when our farming structure changed. And in all of these things, we've always realize that God has been guiding us in some very miraculous ways. And we came up with the time and again with that same line from Chris Christopherson, "What have I ever done to deserve, you know, even just one of those kindnesses?" So to us, it's been a good exercise. It's been, in a sense, a frustrating exercise to think back of that, but a very wholesome exercise. And I thank the committee for the opportunity to force us, that we had to choose to trust in him, to force us to realize this time and again. But we have been talking about Mother's Day before, and this happens to be the 25th year that my mother has passed away. And if you see anything positive in me, that's probably the family upbringing that I've had. And what I really appreciate about Mother, and that's something that each and every one of us here can take along, about the last few years of her life, when people would ask her, "So how are you doing?" She'd have one two-word German answer, "Unverdient gut." Unearned, if you say verdient, that's unearned and unmerited and undeservedly good. I think that's what all of us, if we think about that, that really encourages all of us to really and truly look at these words. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. For me and for us, that's been the lifeline, that's been the way in which we have wanted to live. We probably have without knowing it, but we more deliberately and consciously want to. And that's what I wish for all of us.
Good morning. Trusting in Jesus is something I always thought was something I did. But almost a year ago, I questioned that thought when Nettie was told she had cancer. I realized how shallow my trust really was and how I needed to leave everything in the hands of Jesus. But being someone who likes to control the things around me, that was really hard to do. So now I really, really had to make a deliberate choice to trust, because I couldn't fix the things by myself. There's so many things that I now see that were taken care of by themselves, by trusting. I was completely scared senseless, but looking back, yeah, Jesus took care of our entire family. I now understand taking one day at a time, and the things will be taken care of for you, as long as you take care of what you need, really does hold true. Trusting gives me such joy, as no matter what is happening or how hard things get, I no longer have to overthink or stress about what is happening around me, making me a much happier person. All I have to say is thank you, Jesus, for taking care of my life.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. A mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I needed you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things, be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less.
When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I needed you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Good morning. So this is what you all look like from the front. I'm usually up there. I see all the bald spots. Some are growing. Some are decreasing. I'm not sure what you're doing, but anyways. All right, trust. What is trust? Why do we have trust? What's the value? What's the importance of it? I have no answers. Very few. All I know is I do trust. And I don't have stories like some do about tractors falling on them, or children who are sick, a spouse who is sick. Pretty lucky that way. But I got to thinking, what is trust? What do I have in my life where I've had to display trust? Haley is displaying an incredibly large amount of trust right now to let me come down here. I asked her yesterday if she was coming with. She said, no. She said, I have trust in you. And I said, okay. That should be a good time. So, hi, Haley. Anyway, so she is displaying a lot of trust. Things that have happened in our life where we've had to display that kind of trust or trust in God, sometimes unknowingly, but had to. How many of you have children? Show of hands, okay. How many of you have three boys? Okay, I'm done talking. That is honestly all you've got to say. If you got three boys, you've had to have a little trust. So when you've got an 18-year-old kid who just barely turned 18 and he's in grade 12 and he decides to go to Indonesia for a year, you know, during that year there's a volcano 80 kilometers away, you know, I can't do nothing about that. Haley can't do anything about it. There was a tsunami and stuff like that happened in that same part of the world when he was there. I mean, who else are we going to trust but God? Absolutely nobody. There's nothing we can do. We can't even fly there in 5 minutes and pick him up and help him. We have to trust in God. We have to trust in MCC to be there and for him, be there for him and make the smart choices and get him out if something goes bad. We have zero control. So, yeah, that's kind of one of the experiences. Another one is when your kid's 19 years old and he decides to go climb the tallest mountain in North America where, you know, there's two or three guys a year who die in that adventure. I was very angry with Cody for doing it because it wasn't me. So, yeah, we had long talks about that, and it was mostly me telling him that he was far too young and he could not beat me there and that kind of thing. But anyways, we had to trust. We had to trust that God was going to take care of him. That was a year when there was record snowfalls on the mountain. The day before, or the morning of, I guess you would say, they had a fairly large snowfall the day before he was supposed to do his summit bid, which is, you know, that's the hard part. That's the dangerous part, right? You're up way up there and pushing through snow. And there was a team in front of them that had gone. They were going up this kind of a snow embankment. And Cody's down below with his team, and they're all hooked up and ready to go. And the entire shelf dropped about 3 feet where these guys were standing on. It didn't slide. It just dropped. So they're pretty lucky. So obviously an incredible amount of trust that we as parents have to have in God that he's going to protect our kid. So, yeah, that's kind of some crazy stuff that we don't have control over. So this blind faith, let's call it. Let's just like, help me out, man. Just make this happen. Take care of him. Another thing that happened to us where we had to trust in God was most of you know that me and Haley like to hike through this really big ditch in Arizona. It's about a mile deep and 23, 24 miles across. And we like playing in there and hanging out in there. We do it about every other year. And just 4.5 years ago or so, we started out on this adventure again with another two couples that we've done this with before, one other time with this couple, with these two couples. And one of the guys fell and landed on a ledge, you know, not a lot bigger than the front steps here. Luckily, because on either side it was another 400 feet. This is a long story, actually, of miracles that happened, but the trust factor came in when you know, I drop my backpack and I just go over the edge and I follow Steve down, and I'm in a little bit better condition than he is because he's only got one bone sticking out of his foot and his ankle hanging at a 90-degree angle, and we're 3 miles down. Talk about an incredible amount of trust and faith and belief that God is going to be here, that he's going to take care of this, because I might be able to lift a few heavy things, But I can't carry 220 pounds, 6'4", 3 miles out of the Grand Canyon. That doesn't work. So, of course, we had to trust that we were going to get some help. And I could tell the whole story, but then you'd have to put the milk back in the fridge because lunch won't be, you know, on time, right? Kind of thing. But anyways, there's so much trust that we had to show or display. And I'm talking about trust and I'm telling you these things, but these are things that I maybe didn't understand until after the fact. It all of a sudden, it's like, how did we get through some of these experiences and circumstances in life, but we didn't really panic. We didn't call every person we knew in Indonesia or wherever Tyler or Cody is and in the Grand Canyon to try to get this help. I was always amazed as to how calm and relaxed, for the most part, I could stay. Haley tried. It was a little different sometimes for her, but I get that. It's Mother's Day and she's the mother, so yeah. But I was always amazed as to how relaxed I could be in those situations, and it dawns on me from time to time that that is trust. That is just this unbelievable feeling that I have that if God says something, it's going to happen. If God says, you know, things may go bad, but I'm still there with you, I fully, honestly, truly believe that. That's trust. Not knowing the outcome, not knowing the circumstances, but being able to get involved in some of these hard things that sometimes we don't have a choice in, but actually being able to live through them and go through them calm and relaxed with a full understanding that no matter what the outcome is, God is there. Thank you.
Love it. I'm thinking every one of us is going through a memory or a story of a place where we've been, where we've had to exercise trust, or we did, and later realized that, we placed our confidence and dependence on God, the constant in our lives. It's interesting that as a people of faith, we choose to sing together. And I think that's an act of trust every time we gather in community and sing. There's a profound power in singing in the hard times. It was so moving to me when Jamie shared in her testimony a few weeks ago how when her and Tenley are in a really, really tough space where she chooses to sing, Jesus loves me. But the impact that left on that nurse, there's a reason for that. Because you don't naturally sing in the hard places, right? But we choose to sing and we choose to declare our faith as a disciplined act of trust and belief that God is who he says he is and he will do what he says he will do. And that he's a God of his word because he is the word. In thinking of the theme this morning, the song, Blessed Be Your Name, came to mind, just declaring we will bless the Lord, whether it's going well, whether it's not. Justin and I were just having a conversation the other night. We will have troubles in this world. It's just a given. We live in a broken and fallen world. We are going to have stuff go on. But our response to it sets us apart. Let's stand.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentations. I hear the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though my joys and comforts die, the Lord my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round, songs in the night he giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? I lift mine eyes, the clouds grow thin, I see the blue above it. And day by day this pathway smooths, since first I learned to love it. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am his. How can I keep from singing?
You may be seated.
Thank you, Erica, for those songs. Thank you to the music committee for this theme, and thank you to the participants for your words of encouragement, your stories, your reflections about this theme of trust. Psalm 9, verse 10. your theme verse, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I think there's a direct connection with a benediction verse from Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I don't know, I almost feel like taking a page out of Ron Pierce's book when he was here yesterday. He said, if I told you a story about that, this is what I would say. But I'm not going to tell you a story, but I will. Somehow this is just came to me about the trust and the ability to trust as a church. And the church in East Germany had struggled with that for a number of years. How are we to be the church in a communist bloc country back in the 1980s? And so they began to say, we need to, first of all, care for those who are disadvantaged within our midst. We need to worship, we need to pray. And so they started to pray in 1982. Four churches in Leipzig, the center of the Reformation where Martin Luther preached his messages in the 16th century, they started to pray. At first, a handful of Christians, a few dozen, came. Gradually, though, the congregations at these prayer meetings began to swell, and they attracted the faithful Christians, but also political dissidents and ordinary citizens, because the church was one place where they could gather, where the groups could join together, and the communist state had allowed them to assemble, so they did. And after every meeting, these groups, they would walk through the dark streets of the old city holding candles. Each one had a candle and a banner. And silently, they walked through the streets of Leipzig. Eventually, the news media from the West picked up the story and alarmed the communist hierarchy debated about how to stamp out these peaceful marches. And the secret police surrounded the churches, sometimes roughing up the marchers, but the crowds in Leipzig, they kept growing. Hundreds and thousands and 50,000 marchers. Pastor Wonenberger became the leader. He preached peace and gave practical advice to techniques of nonviolence, even as the secret police phoned in death threats and posted lookouts around his church. October 9th was a pivotal date. Everybody expected the political pressure to reach a critical mass. East Berlin was celebrating the 40-year anniversary of the communist state and viewed the marches in Leipzig as a provocation. Police and army units moved into the Leipzig in force. An East German leader, Erich Honecker, he gave them instructions to shoot any demonstrators, and the country braced for a replay of Tiananmen Square. Leipzig Lutheran bishop warned of a massacre, hospitals cleared emergency rooms, churches and concert halls agreed to open their doors in case demonstrators needed a place to hide. And when time came for the prayer meeting at Nikolai Church, 2,000 communist members rushed in to occupy all the seats that were available. And so the church opened its seldom used balconies, and 1,000 protesters also crowded in. And the Christian Center reports that the service itself was a turning point because the party members began to realize that despite their intention of disrupting things, the church was indeed working for peaceful change. And nobody knows why. The military held their fire that night. Egon Krenz, the short-lived successor to Honecker, took personal credit for rescinding the order. Some theorized that Mikhail Gorbachev of Russia himself telephoned a warning to Honecker. Others believe that the army was simply overwhelmed by the crowds and said, no, we're not going to interfere. But everybody credited the prayer meetings and the vigils in Leipzig for kindling the process of momentous change. And in the end, 70,000 people marched peacefully through downtown Leipzig, and the following Monday, 120 marched, and a week later, almost the entire population, 500,000, marched silently through the streets. There's something powerful about a silent, silent protest and a march with candles and prayer. In early November, the largest march of all took place. Almost 1 million people marched peacefully through East Berlin. Erich Honecker, he resigned. Police refused to fire on the demonstrators. And at midnight on November 9th, if those of you remember that date, something no one ever had dared prayed for even happened. The gap that opened up in the hated Berlin Wall, and East Germans streamed through the checkpoints, past guards who had always obeyed orders to shoot to kill. Not a single shot was fired. Not a single life was lost. As throngs of people marched with candles, brought about a momentous change that swept across not only East Germany at the time, but among others in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania, Albania, Yugoslavia, Mongolia, and even the Soviet Union. The power of prayer, the power of a candle, the light that comes into the world. I'm always reminded of the first gift of creation, the gift of light. Together with John 1, verse 5, the light has come into the world, and the darkness, some translations say, don't understand it. I personally prefer the other that says the darkness has never overcome it and never will. It's light. And it's light from the source of light that will never be overcome. So 'tis so sweet to trust as the church did, as the church continues to, as we are encouraged to. And so for our benediction, why don't we sing a simple little chorus, the chorus about this march and about these people who prayed and who held candles and who said this was their form of witness to the light, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Please join us. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let's stand and sing the last verse of 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus as our benediction and as our dismissal. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Let's sing the chorus one more time. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him,